You gotta have more cowbell.
No, that's not this song.
I know that, but I'm saying that's what it was.
It is cowbell.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, and the 99.3 ESPN app. It is a Monday, but it's like a Wednesday hump day because it's a short holiday week. In fact, we got Chris's back. Seminole Nation wants to know if Chris is going to give us some Miley on Wednesday because that's his 5 o'clock thing.
Did you guys play it on Friday?
Oh,
of course,
no.
Chris, Rick was phenomenal.
Rick Church was phenomenal.
Like through the roof.
The audience was just in glory.
Captivated.
The kudos for him were nonstop.
He said he should have his own show.
He should have his own show.
Just play music.
Wouldn't be on this station, but
it's all good.
No, but look, Rick, he's in the same ballpark all the time. He's going to give you classic rock. That's what you're going to get.
No.
That's what you're going to get.
No, he was...
Once again, painting it with the Craig Sheeman broad brush.
No, hold on. Why do I do that? I like the fine paintbrush.
He was fantastic.
Chicken salad says, don't listen to them, Chris. They're lying.
No, how are we lying? We're lying. Nobody lies.
There you go. Now the truth comes out.
We are spot on with our assessment.
Put that on the poll tomorrow.
Like Georgia.
Whose music do you like better?
Season's not over yet, Chris. They still got Georgia Tech, which I can't stay with straight face.
And then they have LSU.
And then LSU. That's a loss.
You don't know that.
I do. That's what my crystal ball tells
Look,
me.
Look, the people are texting in. They want Miley Wednesday at 5. I'm going to give them Miley
But it's not
five.
Friday. It's Wednesday. It's just a holiday week. It's just different. I don't know if we should acquiesce.
But it's a Wednesday, but it feels like a Friday. Yeah. So it's a Friday.
All right.
Let me ask you this. Are you working Thursday?
Am I?
Yeah.
No.
You working Friday?
No.
It's a Friday.
Fine.
So we're going to have to include the drinking from Thursday on, right, for Thanksgiving.
Are we going to open that up?
What about Friday, too? Friday, there's tons of game football on Friday.
The rule is Friday, Saturday, Sunday drinking while watching football.
I believe the rule. Yes.
Are we going to open it up for the holiday on Thursday?
Not to be a stickler here, but wouldn't tomorrow be hump day?
Let me think about this for a minute.
No, because today would be, well... Depending.
Because it's a three-day week.
Right, so the Tuesday
technically
at 4, actually,
tomorrow.
My hump day will be the actual hump day.
See, I fast-forward it because...
I look at it, today's Wednesday.
This is like a Wednesday for me.
But what do we have tonight on TV?
Wednesday night football.
Monday night football, thank you.
Chicken salad. So great, you just call Monday a hump day, which is the furthest from the truth.
It is!
All right, all the semantics aside... That's a big-time college basketball in town tonight. Check it out. We've got the Sports Center rundown for the 5 o'clock hour, ladies and gentlemen, and somewhat on time at 4 past the hour.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Chris.
No, Catholic Farter, you did not get blocked from the text line tonight in town. Opening night of the Rocket Mortgage Fort Myers tip-off at Suncoast Credit Union Arena. It starts at 6 with K-State taking on Pitt. Then around 8:30, Bradley faces Northwestern. You can go over there and buy yourself a ticket, or you can watch the games on FS1. 99.3 ESPN tonight, we're going to have Rams hosting the Ravens. Coverage starting at 7:30. And Eagles right guard Brandon Brooks was forced out of yesterday's game because of an illness related to anxiety.
He's throwing up all over the place. Which he does every morning.
Every day.
He
said it's been going on for years. Sad, but I don't know. You can't tell me that when he goes for his physical or his team doctors, I mean, do you know what that does to your esophagus and to your stomach line? I mean,
not good.
Man.
Yeah, not good at
all. Gator Nation, go Gators. Charleston Classic. Yeah, in fact, they're back in the top 25 at number 24.
Yep.
Yep.
I just lost the text I was going to read, but that's okay.
So, Craig, you just called Monday a hump day, farthest from the truth, that one.
Already read that.
Mando,
it's happened a couple times today.
Party in the USA is literally a Thanksgiving song celebrating our forefathers.
Is it really, Mondo? Is it really celebrating Thanksgiving, Party in the USA?
We still haven't come up with Thanksgiving Day movies yet, except for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is at the top of everyone's list.
There's
except
only
Chris.
One.
And Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. What else is, I mean, and don't give me these, you know, Hallmark Lifetime movies that nobody watches unless you're...
My wife.
You know, but that's fine.
Hallmark
that
channels
movies.
On all the time until I get home.
No, it's a nice channel. But I'm saying, but I mean, you don't
real sports.
You don't look at class. You don't think of, you know, like, whoa, what was that movie on Lifetime?
No, there's. I mean, I just Googled Thanksgiving movies. I'm getting You've Got Mail.
Paul, did that happen around Thanksgiving? I forget. That's, yeah. I like the ending of that movie.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
The first one wasn't bad.
The first one was funny.
First one that was filmed at the Mall of Burlington.
I don't
Mall.
Think of that as a Thanksgiving movie.
Funny People. You guys remember the movie?
Yeah.
Funny People.
Nope.
Adam Sandler and
nope.
Seth
nope.
Rogen.
But they filmed Paul Blart, the first one, about where I used to live, about 10 minutes from me, in the big mall.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
Abba. It's the mall by
no,
the Abba.
No, it was not. It was not.
A Family Thanksgiving.
That would probably be a Thanksgiving movie.
Who's in that?
I don't know.
August Osage County.
Never heard of him or it or whatever that
no,
is.
Neither have I. Sweet November. Yeah, there's not a lot.
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a classic. And so is Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, which I think is the best Charlie Brown one.
Yeah. That's it. List of two. All right.
What else is it? Yeah, I'm trying to think. There just isn't one.
No. Maybe they need to make some more. I mean, we got a ton of Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Let's start making some Thanksgiving.
Dutch with Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
Funny People was depressing. Thanksgiving is for football, not movies. Yeah, I know, but... But a lot of people go to movies at night after...
The family's together, you're full, you're drinking, yeah. You've had football on all day. Sometimes the other people in the house want to watch a movie.
Want to watch a movie? Or on Christmas Day, the same thing. After everything's done and it's like 6, 7 o'clock at night. Movie theaters are usually pretty packed on Christmas Day. Now, at night. Not for matinees, but at night.
Freebirds.
Don't know that.
It's
either.
A CGI movie about turkeys around holiday.
What is fire? Pocahontas. The Disney movie.
Yeah. Come on. How did I forget? Son-in-Law.
Oh.
That's funny.
You know what?
That's funny.
I will give you. I would watch.
That's a funny movie.
I would watch.
Who's in it?
Oh,
Paulie
Shore.
Not Paulie Shore.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Paulie Shore,
I wouldn't
yes.
give two minutes of my time to a Paulie Shore movie.
Craig, that movie to me is 150,000 times funnier than, what's that, the Chris Farley movie?
Oh, hold on, don't say Tommy Boy right
yes.
now.
Because
well, that's not saying much, Pete
Shepard. But the father in the movie and with Son-in-Law is the guy who was the lawyer and My Cousin Vinny who defended the guy. He is a riot. That's a very underrated movie. For Paulie Shore,
it's a good movie.
It's the only movie I would ever see with
him
in it.
I think you guys are stretching.
No, I would not stretch.
It's funny.
It is a funny. There's some great funny lines in that movie. Some great stuff.
I don't do Paulie Shore.
No, I'm telling you, this one isn't bad.
Grumpy Old Men.
Did
Yeah, that too. A Grumpy Old Men. Yeah, that was good. The first one.
Was Uncle Buck a Thanksgiving setting?
Uncle Buck, I thought it was right before Thanksgiving or Christmas.
According to the Incredible Text.
Okay, Uncle Buck could be up there, dear. That's a good one.
Boom! Another John Candy
movie. Another great movie.
I mean, your whole Thanksgiving should just be John Candy.
I've seen that.
Macaulay Culkin just calls him UB. Hey, UB. Calls him UB the whole movie.
Good times. All right.
Good times.
I want to bring something to your attention. Sean Payton, this came out about an hour ago. He got hosed by the pass interference review again, even though this rule was supposed to cost them possibly going to the Super Bowl. But it seems like this rule keeps following them around and hosing them. He says that what we need to do now is have a 3-person replay booth instead of just Al Riveron in New York calling plays.
No, and I know what he's saying. You need one. You need Skybox judge. That's what you need. One Skybox ref. How about
one? He says one is not enough. You need three. He says, look, the Supreme Court makes important decisions all the time. We don't have just one. You gotta
Did
have...
he just compare football to the Supreme Court?
And is he not wrong?
Right? I'm sorry. Well, I'm not making a comparison.
Are you ready
it's
for
ridiculous.
This?
Ridiculous.
What are you talking about? Roe v. Wade versus Peyton v. Riveron.
The city of New
Same
Orleans
thing.
V. the NFL. No, it's stupid. That's a terrible argument.
He's right, though, that there should be a skybox ref in every single stadium. Al Riveron is
that going to be any different than Al Riveron?
Al Riveron is in way, way over his head. He needs to find somebody more qualified than him to be in that.
Okay,
booth.
But here's the thing: you've got, let's say, you got 16 games or 15 with bye week, whatever. You gotta have 15 skybox dudes around there with possibly 15 different interpretations. You go to the NFL, you got one guy who thinks he knows the rules, but he doesn't. And he keeps screwing it up.
And we read passages, I will say, last week when Chris wasn't here, about coaches who were being told off the record by other people in the league that these refs, they really don't give a damn about calling these pass interference things. They don't care about getting it right. They're just doing it, and everybody knows the rule is going to be abolished next year, which I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's going to cost somebody a Super Bowl this year, just like it did last year. It's going to. We're heading that way. We have a colossal mistake every single weekend. Look, I'm sorry, but there was one in your game with the Patriots and the Cowboys. That second tripping call or not call was garbage.
Terrible.
Garbage.
But even that wasn't as bad. It was horrible. Garbage was last week, those two calls. The one they reversed in the San Fran game, which in Arizona, with Richard Sherman, even though we complained. But, I mean, that was so obvious. And the other one was the other one that they didn't call, the DeAndre Hopkins touchdown.
They exceeded their quota. They had two horrible calls last week. You're absolutely right. And so, Jeff Rice, you know, you got this whole thing started with your horrible call at Green Bay.
Oh, it's happened before him.
But every week it's something major. It shouldn't be something major. Like, twice a year we should have a fluke wrong call. Not every bleeping week. This is the National Football League. Get it together.
Yep. Very seriously, I don't know who Al Riveron is, what makes him so in over his head qualification. Yes, Al Riveron is the one who sits up in New York in the booth.
Former official.
Former official. And he wasn't good then. Trust me, he wasn't good then.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
I'm exhausted having they to want come a guy in here
like
every
Pereira.
Monday.
They want a guy like Pereira, but then I hear Pereira argue with Troy Aikman yesterday over that phantom tripping call. And Pereira's trying. I mean, like, stop trying to defend your brothers.
Wait a minute. Why did Aikman appropriately get into it with him on the tripping call yesterday, but was radio silent when the Texans fumbled the ball against the Colts on Thursday night? He said nothing.
Oh, I totally agree.
Why?
I don't know.
Maybe he finally got some criticism from that non-Colts call and decided to speak up this week, talking about Troy Aikman. And he got into it,
but Al
Mike Pereira stuck to his guns.
Yep.
When you see something completely wrong and a guy sticking to his guns, I don't get it. He tried to claim that he lifted his foot and tripped. He was basically moving in a play, blocking a guy. You have
horrible.
To take a step. You have to lift a foot. That's not tripping, you moron.
He got you know, bulldozed right into him. And again, official title is senior vice president of officiating for the NFL, guy like Springsteen.
Greenpeace, why does it seem like we don't have an issue like this with calls in college?
And they do
good
it quickly.
Question.
They don't, because they do it very quickly. Usually you don't take 3 minutes. It's usually done in replay in 30 seconds. I mean, let's go back to last Thursday night. The fumble.
That's what I was just talking about.
I know, but
when Aikman didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. That, yes. And I didn't understand that. That kind of breezed right over. I don't understand it.
And a game on the line, a booth review.
Mm-hmm.
How do they miss it? I don't know. I saw it on my couch.
Saying it all year. Get Dean Blandino back up there. They need him. Al Riveron is just, he wasn't a good official, and he's not good at this job.
I also agree with Chucker, who says all these TV old referee guys with the officials up there, they don't add anything to the broadcast. I don't think they add anything to the broadcast either. I don't. Yesterday with the Aikman thing, that was the first interesting back and forth I've had. And the guy on the ref side was wrong with Mike Pereira. But most times it's usual. I'm so sick and tired as an educated viewer being watched. Well, let's see if he has control of the ball.
Yep.
And then he hits the ground. I know the rule. I know it better than you do. God, they get on my nerves.
Oh, it's been bad. And college has been better. They've done a better job with it.
College has done a good job. Now, I think college spends too much time
the targeting thing.
On the targeting thing.
And sometimes the challenges are way off. I mean, sometimes, though, you need to really see that replay, because many times what you think is helmet to helmet is just helmet to shoulder pad.
Yeah.
It makes a big cracking noise, but it happens so fast sometimes. But other than that, usually, I mean, they get it pretty right. They get it right.
Well, my biggest pet peeve of that is you see the defender 9 times out of 10. they're coached the right way. They try to lower themselves and not have contact. But then the offensive player is also trying to get down low. And in a split second at full speed, they both collide. Mm-hmm. And I think defenders are improperly penalized there, too, sometimes.
Yep. No, they are. And but this is as bad. Last year was horrible. This is even worse as far as officiating goes. Yes. And it is going to cost somebody in a playoff game. It's going to be. I mean, to not call something like to me, the most egregious thing I've seen all year is the non-call on DeAndre Hopkins, and to a degree, the one that happened in Arizona. But at least they overturned that one.
I'm a little partial to the hands to the face in Lambeau, but that's okay.
Okay, that too.
But it was.
But the DeAndre
egregious.
Hopkins to not call that to me is. You know, like Billy O'Brien said, I mean, I don't know what pass interference is anymore. You Nobody know, does.
Carface says, I think the refs are betting on the games. Now, okay, joking aside, this opens up the box for you to have these conversations. And even when Richard Sherman says ridiculous things, oh, they're targeting me because I'm outspoken and part of the players' union. I'm sorry, it opens the door for you to wonder. And if you wonder, you've lost the integrity of your game.
And here's the thing, even when back when Tim Donaghy got caught in the NBA. Does anybody really think he acted alone?
No way.
Do you really believe that?
Still going on today.
Did you read that piece that ESPN put out on him?
The more recent one?
It came out like at the beginning of the football season, I want to say.
Really?
Maybe it was over the summer.
Actually, I did read it.
But it was like 60% of the referees in the NBA come from this small corner in New Jersey or Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Up around that way where they're all connected. They all know each other growing up and kind of, it's worked into itself into like a little fraternity.
So they share the bets that they win, the collusion, and kind of like a socialistic, little incestuous socialistic referee club.
Well, what's the big gambling place up there in the Northeast?
There's a lot. I mean,
the main one.
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
Oh.
Atlantic City, right next door to where all these guys are from. Makes you wonder.
Well, only recently have been able to bet on games there. Only recently. You couldn't bet on games there until recently.
Yeah.
Only in Vegas, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And I don't believe that. But again, like you said,
no, Donaghy was going through. Not going through Vegas. He was going through.
Yeah, I'm saying the NFL though. I don't believe that the NFL refs are putting money on the game. Maybe I don't want to believe that that's happening.
You don't think that any NFL referee has ever bet on a game? Maybe through a third party. You would never see. I don't think you'd ever see.
Yeah,
you couldn't
see his name.
I would be
How
stunned.
Easy would it be to make money on prop bets for crying
Easily,
out loud?
Easily, easy.
It's unbelievable. Rhesus Genius, Craig, you're spot on. Keep on their asses.
I don't know what that means.
That could be...
stay off my bum.
Basically, I'm right.
About what? I don't
We're
know.
We're agreeing with you.
We are agreeing with them. Just...
I think when I'm railing on the NFL, I think I'm spot on.
Tuxedo Pooh says, I'm from Jersey. Have a friend who is an ex-NFL player and has told me the ref do some shady crap.
Stuff.
Bleep.
Yeah.
I believe it.
So like Springsteen, we need younger refs, better eyes. Are unafraid to be proven wrong on review. I agree. And that is the problem here. It's a great point. I think ego gets in the way a lot. And upstairs, there's no skybox judge, but Al Riveron, I'm convinced that does not want to embarrass his fellow brothers, zebras on the field.
Doesn't it embarrass the league more when you miss a DeAndre Hopkins pass interference that is so egregious? It reminds you of this.
You would think the Saints game last year?
Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely.
And the reason the rule was put in the first place? Yeah.
Yep.
What do you want to embarrass? Your peers on the field or the league?
They don't want to embarrass the profession by, pointing out these egregious errors that are constantly being made.
Then there's no point to have
Then that's why they won't. And that's why they won't next year. But what does that mean? So the... I mean, to have a call like that, even with it's bad enough to have a call like that without the rule. Then you have it with the rule, and it makes it 100,000 times worse, and you don't call it. The Thursday night game, clearly the ball is out. Clearly it's a fumble in the Colts game. And a referee comes out and says there isn't
possession,
blah, blah, blah. He can't make the way he worded it. You can't do it because you didn't review it. It's unbelievable to me.
Makes me sick.
And there's no one's there to ask a follow-up. These guys should be put in front of the media and be hold their feet to the fire and let them explain what in the hell is going on.
The best way to hold their feet to the fire is to do it the way the AAF did it when you could hear on the TV
I love that.
The lady up in the booth.
She was great.
Going back and forth. Well, I see this, but I don't see this. Okay, here's my call. And then you live with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think it would help if the NFL would come out afterwards and say, it was wrong. It was ruled incorrect on the field, but they don't do that.
The NBA will.
Did they do it on? Did they do it for the Thursday night game? Did I see something where they finally admitted they blew it?
No.
They did. Okay, why didn't I hear somebody talk about that?
Because we had Phil Yates on last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, when he was saying, look, like this would go over a lot better if you would just admit that you were wrong. Like,
yes.
If you're a parent, you know when your kid messes up and they come to you and say, I messed up, it just goes over better.
It goes over way better.
At least you know you messed up. If we're the fan base and there's clearly a blown call or a non-call on the field, and you come out on Monday, no, it doesn't make the win any better. But at least you step up and it's like, okay, you know what? You said you messed up. Whatever. Now, is that going to make Saints fans happy? No, it's not after an NFC Championship game where you cost them a spot in the Super Bowl.
You know what?
But at least you're admitting it.
They did admit the Jeff Rice one. They did come about 2 days later and said, particularly the second hands-to-the-face call called against Detroit, should not have been called. They did come out and admit that. It doesn't make me feel any better because my season has been garbage ever since.
But still, but that's one instance out of a season where every Monday we're coming in here talking about this. Every Friday we lead off the show about the bad call in the Thursday night game.
Yep.
And tomorrow, how much you want to bet we're going to come in here and talk about at least one play where the officiating screwed the pooch?
Yeah, that will happen tonight.
We're going to talk about this game. This is one of the best Monday night games of the year. I had potential to be.
Good for Baltimore.
Well, no. I mean, the Rams.
I want to see Lamar Jackson do some amazing things again.
The Rams, but that's, again, a pretty good defensive front and some interesting matchups, and we'll see. Again, it's on the road. It's in L.A. They're going to get back on track. The Rams, this is where they're going to start right here.
And has Jared Goff looked good in since last year? I mean.
He's had a few spots.
He's spotty.
He is spotty. Yeah, do you know what his touchdown interception ratio is?
1-1.
Do you have it in front of you?
11 touchdowns and 10 picks.
That's horrible.
It's pretty right.
2,783
yards. Pretty close to Tom Brady numbers.
No, it's not even close to Brady. Please.
Well, he's got like 15 touchdowns all year.
Do you want to make a bet? He's more than 2-1 interception to touchdown ratio. Brady is.
How about his touchdowns per game? Touchdowns per game.
He had one
Pete.
Yesterday. Okay, fine. But
it's about 1.5.
I don't care. They're 10-1.
They are 10-1.
Yeah, and even Gronk said, what is with this sourpuss Tom Brady after the Eagles win moping around? He says, that's the number one thing I hated about that place, and I'm not there anymore. Acting like it's a loss.
He's pissed because he didn't play well because they didn't have any receivers.
Come on.
Just like the Eagles.
You got to enjoy
that's
it.
That's why both teams.
Maybe the GM should have a little foresight.
Yeah. Pete, when we do a good show and you get in your car at 6 o'clock, you feel pretty good about it, don't you?
Every day.
You sit here and cuss yourself out on the way home. Dang it, I shouldn't have reread that text.
Sometimes.
See, Craig, here's the highlight of drafting so high. You know when you have to pay for the subscription to go see like the full 32-team mock draft?
Yeah.
When you're drafting in the top five, you get it for free.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about drafting in the top five.
That's a good thing.
Which you're just outside of right now as a Lions fan.
I think I'm 7. You said 8.
It's right around there. Yeah.
Close.
What are the odds that the Lions are going to draft before the Dolphins?
That's not going to happen.
You're one win away.
What are you talking about?
You're one win away from that happening.
Two. You're
one.
A game and a half. You have a tie where we have a
that's
loss.
Stupid tie.
It's going to cost you. It would have been better to lose that game.
If we were a winning team, that tie would have cost us a playoff spot. Now we're a losing team, and that tie is going to cost me a draft pick.
Look, Miami's hosting Philadelphia this week. Philly should win that game.
Should.
So that's another loss. Then Miami's at the Jets. The Jets are playing better. Miami should probably lose that game.
Yep.
And Miami stays up there. They should. They play the Giants in the same stadium the following week.
Nah, come back. I'd travel.
Don't know what that is. Then the home versus Cincinnati, that could be a win. But like we said, Cincinnati has lost 7 games by 6 points or less, or 7 points or
and
less.
And Andy Dalton is back, which is great news, Dolphins.
Yeah.
Great news.
It is.
And then
there's no way Ryan Finley was coming into The Rock and walking out with a W.
And then,
Andy Dalton has a really good record
against no one ever.
And then you're in Foxborough to close out the season on December 29th.
I hope that game means something.
For who?
For New England.
No, that's the thing. What if it doesn't?
Then I know. That's what I hate.
Oh, what if Miami wins that?
That's ridiculous.
The only thing it costs you a number one pick.
Well, Ooh. Look, I'm thinking right now there's like four guys that I got my eye on. Four.
Is Tua even one of them anymore? Or you've discarded him?
Look, Tua's still a guy for me, but I'm sorry. I got a soft spot in my heart for him.
Because of Bama.
Yeah, because of Bama. I want to see him do well.
Philly Kevin, you guys have any Dolphin tickets hanging around? No, I have a few. Philly Kevin, you can walk up to Hard Rock, okay? I promise you.
$4.
First of all, you know as well as I do, Philly Kevin. Still waiting for my sandwich, by the way. But there's going to be all Eagles fans there. You know that as well as I do. So you're going to – it won't be sold out.
Oh, it'll be a home game.
You should be able to walk up there and get a ticket for a good price. And if you're willing to wait to right before kickoff, like 5 minutes before, I guarantee you, you'll get in for less than face value. Mm. That's how it works. Yep. But they'll be all Eagles fans in my – I promise you, just like with the Giants or the Patriots.
Tickets start at $84 right now.
Oh, you won't ever pay even half of that, quarter of that, tops.
Redskins-Lions tickets went for $4.
You get club level for $200? That's a steal right there.
Pay $200. You can walk. You could probably get that for $10 if you wait before kickoff.
The club level. Pete, you've gone to the club level.
I've been to club level. I know.
That's not a $10 ticket.
I know that. But
that's quality. You're paying $12 for a beverage at the club level.
They're hanging around.
1984 is texted in, but you guys are getting off topic. How y'all cooking your turkeys on Thursday? We can get into that Friday.
In the oven.
I'm actually doing a Friendsgiving on Saturday.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Like 20 people. Well, like
at
10
your,
people and 10
house?
Kids coming over to my house.
So you're having two Thanksgivings.
I'm having three.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Pete.
I'm playing golf Thursday morning at 7:39.
Nice.
How about that? And then he's having a Friendsgiving and Craig and Pete invited.
What else is new?
That was loud.
I invite everybody everywhere. I don't get any invitations for anything in this room. I invite everybody. I take you golfing. I invite you to my home to break bread. I invite you out to restaurants. I invite everybody everywhere. I get nothing. I invited your dad. I'm going to play golf with your dad. You don't want to play. I'll beg your parents over to my house. I can bring the two dogs.
I know.
It was put on by my wife.
So are these more her friends?
Who's cleaning up?
Well, it's our friends.
Are you cooking at your house?
Yeah, it's at my house.
Chris likes to clean up. He said.
Wow, that's a...
Well, it's like it's 9 grown-ups, and I think we have 10 children coming over.
Oh, there's going to be... Get the Band-Aids ready. It's going to be a situation.
That's fine.
You're in the backyard.
I got a whole first aid kit.
Yeah, you're going to need it.
Must be nice.
Guaranteed. Stone Cold Lock.
Wow.
So we're doing a Coke ham.
I thought you said cocaine. I really did. I think I've done the Coke ham before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It's nice. It's very good. Yeah, nice sweet. Yeah. Yeah, you get the sugar emulsifying.
A lot of people will do a roasted
turducken.
Sirloin or something. Not even that, but sometimes people that don't necessarily like turkey, I don't really do the ham, but
I'm not a big fan of turkey. I'm going to be honest. I think it's overrated at Thanksgiving. It's the overrated part of Thanksgiving.
You gotta do it right. If you don't
I love the dark meat, though, man. A lot of people don't like it. I mean, I think the dark meat is by far the most tender.
I think the turkey's overrated. I'd rather have a slice of ham. I'd rather have some chicken.
Here's what I hate. When
chicken
you're at a big,
on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had a roast before. A big $150 filet mignon type roast. That's not.
Oh, the tenderloin.
Tenderloin, I mean.
Yeah. Delicious.
Nothing wrong with that. But
now, do you know what the Native Americans brought to the actual first Thanksgiving feast?
Oh, I just read this yesterday. Hold on.
It was not turkey.
No. Buffalo?
It was not buffalo.
No.
It was not chicken. It was venison.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, venison.
Venison.
So much venison that it took them 3 days to eat it.
That was how long the initial Thanksgiving feast lasted. This was a 3-day event.
It was a rager.
Unbelievable.
A rager.
Here's the thing.
I think they had, never mind.
And I've been at Thanksgiving before.
I'm making another cocaine joke, but thought it was awful.
But the worst thing is you're at Thanksgiving dinner with, and I say this like ex-in-laws for me, but that have little kids. And they give the little kid
like
the turkey leg. Or one of them, and the kid takes like one little bite out of it and then doesn't eat it, spits and slobbers all over, and then you can't even. Don't give the turkey leg away to a little kid.
No,
they
I
don't
agree
appreciate
with that. Just
it.
Give them the white breast meat and be done with it.
Yeah.
We had a Thanksgiving incident at my house about.
An incident?
Yeah, in 2007. So my son was four. We let him try the homemade gravy.
Yeah.
So right. He liked it, and he didn't like it, and so he spit it back into the ladle, which ruined the rest of it for the rest of us.
That's cool, man.
That's how we roll.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, Turkey Talk continues. 239-337-ESPN. Don't forget Monday Night Football tonight. Do you want to read one more before we go to break?
Like Everett said, you guys are suited tomorrow. You're off. No, we're here till Wednesday.
Here till Wednesday. Gone Thursday and Friday.
Kevin, you don't have to get me a sandwich. I'm only kidding.
Oh, there you go.
All right. If you do, it's meatball.
Monday Night Football tonight. Ravens and Rams, 7:30, Twin Peaks.
I went to the Square Grouper this weekend.
Square Grouper?
Yeah. Oh,
on the
That's
the
what
keys?
They called the drug drops.
The what?
The drug drops.
All right, we're late. You're going to have to explain
They'd
this to me.
They fly over like Lake Okeechobee
and
just dump massive amounts of drugs out called square groupers.
Oh.
And then they pay the local fishermen to go out there, grab the goods, and bring it back to shore
for
them.
No kidding.
Yeah, square grouper.
So like a square package of coke or weed?
Yeah, anything that's illegal.
But in a nice waterproof baggie.
Square.
And drop. Wow.
Not just Lake Okeechobee. That was the one that came to mind for me, but all over the place. South Louisiana.
All right. More Miami Vice talk coming up. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It is a Monday, which feels like a Wednesday. It's a three-day work week, off on Thursday and Friday for the holiday.
2 days. Half a day, really.
Half a day, really, exactly.
Tomorrow's hump day.
So tomorrow is hump day, Tuesday, which is what Chris celebrates every week.
See one of the singers from AC/DC passed away over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. Mm. I did. I get them all mixed up.
Yeah,
but
I do, too. But still?
Living large, those guys, man. But then they get old, and then their bodies just... Got to pay the piper.
Some of them, others keep going forever.
How Mick Jagger is still performing at the level he is now is beyond me. He was like 76 years old, still dancing, singing.
Insane.
You know how exhausting that is?
Yes.
I get exhausted just coming to work and talking for 4 hours every day.
Exactly.
He's performing. Let's go to the phones. Don't forget we got a Monday Night Football game tonight, the Ravens and the Rams on 99.3 ESPN.
Big game.
Huge game.
Huge.
Let's go to Sean, wants to talk to Giants on Sheba to Shepherd. Sean, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up?
How are you, man?
Not much. So I know I already convinced you guys, but I think the Chicago game already showed that the whole staff needs to go. We knew coming into the game Chicago had one of the worst offenses in the league. Guaranteed they do have a good defense with Khalil Mack hanging on there. But the Giants should have been able to take advantage of that terrible offense by Mitchell Trubisky and should have won that game. But at this point, I think we're just dropping down to grab Chase Young in the draft. But I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, I mean, just,
I don't think they're going to be drafting high enough to get him.
Well, they're 2-9. They might be able to get him. They're 2-9. Depends on how many more wins you get. And, you know, Jones again yesterday was pretty good. He had 2 touchdown passes and no picks. 150 yards, but Barkley, again, only 59 yards on the ground. The Bears were in shambles. I was really surprised that they were – and that was an ugly game watching on Red Zone the first half, right? That was like zero.
Very ugly.
It was 7-3 at the half, but it was an ugly first quarter.
By the way, if you want a Stone Cold Lock prop bet, when the Lions and the Bears open up on Thanksgiving Day
– under?
Take the under in the first half. Maybe the first quarter will be 3-0.
Yeah, but those games have a way. Remember what Stafford did last year? He threw a pick 6 right away.
I'm telling you, it's going to be 3-0 in the first quarter.
Except some, I don't know. You might be right, but those games have a tendency to. Thanksgiving Day, especially in Detroit, kooky things happen.
Sometimes they do, and then sometimes it's like, yeah, Lions stink. When does the Cowboys game start? It's the way it is.
Do you even say that in your household?
No, not really. But here's the deal.
You've thought it a couple times.
Look, Chris, I told you my one rule of thumb every year when the Lions schedule comes out in May. I go through.
And
I
they're playing
the
on Thanksgiving.
Wins and losses
and,
in my
yeah,
head.
Yeah.
Are we still relevant or have a shot to be 500 on Thanksgiving? That's my acid test. this is not happening this year. Yes, you could go back and look. I did call them out to be a wild card team this year. You know, I'll save you the effort. Don't
you did that on March 11th at 3:54.
Yeah, yeah. that's kind of specific.
Oh, I mean, we timestamped these things.
I know.
I just put you down for another one today. I don't even think you knew about it. Today at 5:11 p.m., quote, officiating will cost a team the Super Bowl.
Well, what's wrong with that statement?
I wrote it down so we can wave that flag when we come in here the day after the Super Bowl and say the refs got it wrong again.
Yeah.
No, the Lions don't. I'm trying to think. They always play at 12:30? They have the
four.
We always have the early game.
You always have the 12:30 game, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The only thing that changes is it alternates years. Are you Fox or you CBS?
Yeah.
Fox or CBS.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I couldn't tell you which one is which this year.
And the NBC.
And then the other one gets the Cowboys. And then
NBC gets the night.
Yeah, NBC gets the night. No,
it used to be the NFL.
The Fox game. You get the Fox game this week because Buffalo is at Dallas. That's an AFC game. That's a CBS. I already checked it anyway.
Correct.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So you get the Bears and well, you're on short rest too, but I think you have a chance.
What? I've got the great Mitchell Trubisky, and we've got Driscoll.
Well, Allen Robinson had a hell of a day yesterday. First time in a while. And Khalil Mack had a strip sack of Daniel Jones. So that was, you know.
Yeah.
That was big.
It's going to be a grinder. All right. Let's close it out with one more phone call. My man Otis is checking in. Want to talk some football on a Monday. Otis, how are you? How was the weekend?
Otis.
Man, the weekend was good. There were some good games. And then the Miami Hurricanes came on, and I was reminded of how inconsistent we are.
Oh,
very.
That's not inconsistency. That was a debacle, an abomination, an embarrassment.
That should never happen.
FIU. Not like that. To be shut out, basically, be down 23-3 to that team in the fourth quarter was ridiculous. But anyway, we digress.
You know, the worst thing about that is I got my two FSU employees who were dangerously close to being fired smiling at me about Miami losing.
Yeah.
Oh, don't smile at the boss. No.
Oh, boy.
And they're still employed, barely. Their Christmas bonus is going to suffer.
As it should, dude.
As it should. Although you should give them some more so they can donate to the boosters over there. They need a new coach.
Mm. Well, I'm going to save their Christmas bonus and buy that nice Kirby Smart hat for a certain Seaman and Shepherd guy to wear after Georgia go ahead and win the SEC championship.
Okay, yeah, agreed.
He is praying.
I will deliver it to him, whoever he may be.
Yes.
I don't know, whoever shall remain nameless. But, you know, you guys are in pro football. There's a lot of good football going on. I'm getting a little fatigued with the Saints coach because if the call goes his way, it's fine. If it doesn't, he's complaining. I mean, his guy pushed the guy to bounce. What does he want? I mean, why is he complaining about the call going? His guy, he pushed him out. He wanted the interception. So if it goes my way, yay the call. If it doesn't, I'm a little girl. He shouldn't have won the game. I mean, Carolina kicker sucks.
Yeah, he missed a 27-yarder, right?
They should have won. I was, you know, thank you, Carolina, for blowing my freaking skittles.
Have my skills.
You know, other than that, everything else.
That's why
good.
Your employees aren't getting bonuses for the holidays because you had a rough weekend, right?
It wasn't that rough. I pick them here and there. That was my upset. Atlanta tossed me a few skittles. I thought they were going to keep it going, but
They got New Orleans again.
They got New Orleans and Atlanta on Sunday night, and Atlanta embarrassed them on last 2 weeks ago. I get the feeling the Saints are going to turn it around against the Falcons and beat them to a pulp.
I get a feeling the Saints are going to get in the playoffs and are not going to do a thing, and they're going to have a bunch of excuses again, and it's looking like Dallas will barely make it. I don't know. I'm starting to get confused, but San Francisco's better than everybody thinks. I mean, you don't just beat Aaron Rodgers. Thank you, 49ers. My wife will be a grouch all week.
I think Aaron Rodgers dropped back 33 times for a total of 66 yards.
Yeah. That was not good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Otis. I appreciate you calling, as always. That was a woeful performance by Aaron Rodgers. Again, they can't play on the West Coast. This team can't play on the West Coast.
Not so far.
Add their games between the Rams and the 49ers and tell me what the collective is on that.
0-2.
Add the scores.
Oh, that's a lot.
That was more math.
Yeah. Shouldn't be a lot of math on this show.
Gator Nation says, Craig, if you don't like Driscoll, I heard Tim Tebow's available. Go Gators. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
63-19.
That's a beating.
I think.
That's close.
It's right around there.
It's right rounding up.
A point or two here.
It's good. It's good. All right, very good. All right, don't forget, Monday Night Football tonight at 7:30. We got What You Got Next. Close it out here on a big Monday. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What You Got is brought to you by our good friends at Twin Peaks. Stop on down there tonight. Watch some Monday Night Football. Got all those TVs just sitting there with football on. Great drinks, great food. We're checking out Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, and Scenic Views. Joe DiMaggio was born on this day in 1914.
Joe D. Day,
no longer with us.
Dinky Donuts.
Yep. Bernie Kosar was born in 1963. Today is Joe Gibbs' 79th birthday. And, on this day in 1979, Pat Summerall and John Madden broadcast a game together for the first time.
Wow.
First of 22 years together.
It's been a Dallas or a Giants game.
Probably. On CBS.
On CBS.
Then on Fox.
And that's the first time they probably said, murder,
she wrote. Exactly. Donovan McNabb, happy birthday to you. 1976. Also on this
D-Mac.
Also on this day in 1976. O.J. Simpson gained 273 yards in the Bills game against the Lions.
How long since Tom Brady's thrown for that many yards?
Been a while. This is kind of odd. 2018 Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers set an NFL single-game record completing 25 straight passes in a win over the Cardinals. How about that?
Well, I thought it was an NFL record having 9 kids.
Could be.
Antonio Cromartie, though.
All the same woman.
Right. Yeah.
That's a record.
That is a record. That poor woman.
Yeah.
God.
Give her a break. Roll
God,
off.
What do you, I mean?
All right, Pete Shepard.
Never mind.
No, just
a lot of things, yeah.
All right, updating our poll, a couple of things. What should we call our 22-team pigskin picks? The choices were pigskin pictacular or pigskin pick-a-palooza. Which Chris and I like, Craig did not, but...
No, I like Pickapalooza. I just didn't like the... He liked the... Never mind.
I like the... But Pickapalooza is...
No, I like spectacular.
73% to 27%, and I will continue my hot string of picks.
I actually like Pickapalooza now.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's unanimous.
And it's... You know, it seems sort of easy to do, but I like the Ravens tonight, -4. And then the line's up to 4. Might be 3.5, but I like the Ravens tonight. I like them pretty good. They don't win this game by at least a touchdown. I will be stunned. But you would think the Rams would pose a little bit of a defensive, you know, with Donald and company. We'll see. But Cooks is coming back tonight, too, on offense for the Rams. So there's that.
Big.
Miami Heat hosting Charlotte at 11.5. That's a gimme.
Right to my
I'm sorry.
Pick of the night.
I'm
We're going to go to Miami Heat. They're laying 10.5. against the Charlotte Hornets. And just so everybody knows, back on a winning streak with my pick of the night.
How high is the streak?
1. But you know what? I feel really good about getting that sucker up to 2.
All right. I'm with you on this
one. I feel good.
I'm
sorry.
I'm literally with you on this one. Already placed it.
So just so everybody knows, football season to date, I am 9-12.
Okay.
But again, I'm coming off of 1 last week. But before that, I had dropped 4 straight. So
Heat also 6-0 at home this year.
Wow. Garlic Cake says the Hornets got this. No.
They got plastered by the 76ers, though, over the weekend.
The Hornets got this. The Hornets are in rebuild.
Yeah. The Hornets got this, said no one ever.
I like some of their young pieces.
Do you?
P.J. Washington's a good player.
Yep. Malik Monk had a big shot the other night. He beat the Pistons.
Thank you.
Jordan needs to stop drafting guys. He drafts guys from Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky. That's it.
Spread it out.
And Kemba from UConn. Right. That's just because he saw him play North Carolina one time.
He's probably right. Might be absolutely right. All right, that'll do it, boys and girls, for Monday. Don't forget Monday Night Football, Ravens and Rams.
Bye-bye!
7:30, brought to you by Twin Peaks. All right, so back tomorrow, Tuesday, our hump day Tuesday of a short work week as we motor on closer to Thanksgiving.
We'll have a top 5 red alert.
Red alert!
Another version of Master Pete Theater.
Oh, that's exciting stuff.
It's good stuff. All right, for Chris, for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman, just grinding it day after day, but getting it done, frankly. Have a great night, everybody, and God bless America.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.